Welcome back to By Any Means Necessary here on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Eugene Perrier, here with Sean Black. And as always, we're your guide to connecting the political, social, and economic movements shaping the world around us. And as we keep the show moving forward here, we are turning our attention to Haiti, and we are very happy to be joined by Kim Ives, who's the editor of the English language section of Haiti Liberté. Kim, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Great to be here, Eugene and Sean.
Yeah. Now, Kim, Haiti, of course, has been embroiled in protests over 2 months now. And this week, the country marked the 216th Victory Day, which commemorates Haiti's last major independence battle against France, with President Jovenel Moïse saying in a speech given that day, quote, the exploitation system is coming to an end. It does everything to regenerate, but we must unite to avoid it. Dialogue is the only way to solve problems. But while he was saying this, people were in the streets all over the country continuing to call for his resignation. And this is also coming not long after the Commission for the Transfer of Power was organized there in Haiti specifically to facilitate Jovenel's removal from office. I mean, you know, Moïse is sort of continuing to play oblivious here, Kim, despite the deep political crisis that he finds himself in. So I'm just wondering, from your perspective, where do you sort of see the political situation in the country standing today?
Right. It's very grave. The term he used for the system, which he has now invoked twice, once he did it in a speech at the National Palace after about a month or month and a half of silence. He's calling it in Creole, système pesé souci, which means a system of squeeze and suck, basically what you do with some of the tropical fruits. And so he keeps speaking about a system, but he doesn't specify. Is he talking about the capitalist system? Is he, you know, what system is he referring to? But this is essentially what is on the mind of the Haitian people. They want a system change. We are basically on the brink of Haiti's second great social revolution, the first one, of course, being in 1804, when slaves, or former slaves of the colony of Saint-Domingue, threw out the French colonial troops and founded Haiti, which was the first nation of Latin America, the first Black Republic. So it is a similar moment that we're in now, where the people are sick of capitalism, and Jovenel Moïse is somehow trying to bluff them with these statements. But as you said, the people were out in the streets by the thousands across the country. They burned an American flag in St. Mark, which just gives you a notion of how anti-imperialist these demonstrations are. There were three people who were burned inside a container up in Cape Haitian, and there were marches in other cities as well. About four people were hurt or were wounded in the demonstration in Port-au-Prince, a journalist, a police officer, two protesters. And this is more or less par for the course. It's the estimate given by the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights as of the evening of November 18th. They counted 77 killed in the past 10 weeks, continuous weeks of uprising, 219 injured, and 315 arrested. Those may be conservative figures, particularly for the dead, since often they aren't counted, because in the regime's mind, they don't count. They're not people. But these are the battle lines that are drawn, and we now see this sort of Trump political appointee, Kelly Kraft, the ambassador of the U.S. to the U.N., has just arrived down in Haiti and is going to once again try to get the opposition, quote unquote, to sit down with Jovenel and have dialogue. You know, this is their approach in Haiti, as in stark contrast to their approach in Bolivia or Venezuela. Yeah, that's the situation.
Yeah, and I'm glad you raised the point about Kelly Craft. This is the U.S. permanent representative to the United Nations who's visiting Moise in Port-au-Prince in order to, quote, underscore U.S. support for a more peaceful, secure, prosperous, and democratic future for the Haitian people. And that's according to a State Department media advisory about her visit. And I was actually, you know, wondering about this. You touched on it just a moment ago, Kim, because we've talked before about sort of the curious silence of Washington and what's been happening in Haiti. And I was wondering possibly if, you know, this may be a case of Washington trying to see if there's anything to salvage with Moise, if it's perhaps a show of support for his administration. But based on what you're saying, it seems as though they're trying to see if there isn't some sort of a distant shot for Moise to remain in place there in Haiti.
Right. Well, they have been trying since the fateful January 10th, 2019 vote at the Organization of American States, where Haiti flipped and started to vote against Venezuela, saying that Nicolas Maduro was not legitimate. They've had a constant stream. Basically, an official a week would be down in Port-au-Prince trying to show U.S. support. So it's very clear they were trying to prop him up. But as they've seen at the end of these 10 weeks and the entire bourgeoisie of Haiti, almost the entire bourgeoisie is complaining to the embassy and to anybody who will listen that, you know, they're losing money. They can't do their business. The streets are all closed. They can't get deliveries. They can't do exports. Everything is stopped. Haiti, as they say in Creole, Haiti lock. Haiti is in lockdown. So they've, I think, started to develop a second track, a backtrack. If you, in Creole, they say de bougie ou de saint. You have two candles for two saints. You know, if this saint doesn't work, you do the other one. And they set up to me, I mean, I don't have proof of this, but I see all the markings and signs that it's them. They set up this coalition called the Passerelle, which means gateway to transition. And it's headed by a guy called Edouard Pault, who's the chief episcopal bishop in Haiti. And he's one of the players that you always, when you see him, you know he's got Washington behind him. And they organized last weekend at the Marriott Hotel in Port-au-Prince a big conclave of the five different coalitions of the opposition and set up this transition commission, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, the U.S. is working on two tracks. On the one hand, yeah, they're trying to shore up Jovenel, but on the other hand, they're preparing the other track for if it doesn't work, he'll fall into this U.S. concocted coalition of many basically opportunist and scoundrel politicians are at its head. And in fact, that's who Kelly Craft will be meeting with. He's meeting with people like Joseph Lambert and Yuri Latortue, who were highlighted in the WikiLeaks cables that WikiLeaks provided Haiti Liberté back in 2011. And we did two reports on that as two of the most corrupt politicians in Haiti. In fact, they were both very close to Jovenel until his boat started sinking. So she's meeting with them, with Jovenel, with another guy called Evalier Beauplein, who's sort of been one of the leading senators in the opposition. So you can see they're talking to basically among thieves, if we can say.
Yeah, and I appreciate you breaking down that two-track tactic being taken here, as well as the character of the opposition and just who is behind them as well. And, you know, a little earlier, Kim, you were talking about the issue of, you know, state violence and the heavy repression that we've been seeing in Haiti. Some reports have the death toll at least as high as 77, with about 219 injured and over 300 arrested. And there was even a funeral this week for five people who were killed in recent protests. And another notable development here has been the reorganization of the military in Haiti since the UN forces left the country around last month. And I'm wondering how you're sort of analyzing just what this means. I mean, there I've seen videos of this newly reorganized military sort of marching on the National Palace and things like that. What do you think their present portends here for the country?
Well, yes, this was their sort of second anniversary, if you will, this year. And Jovenel could not go to Vertière, which is up by Cape Haitien, to hold the ceremony because everything's locked down, and they would have probably given him a very warm welcome up there, so warm that he would have had to flee. So they did it on the palace grounds in Port-au-Prince. They had a little march. Now, the army is fairly embryonic. It's less than 1,000 troops presently, and, you know, it's still much smaller than the police force, which is about 16,000 troops. But this is very key, and we have to remember that revolutions are always carried out by men and women with guns. That is, if you look at the Russian Revolution a century ago, it wasn't the proletariat precisely who carried out the final blow for that revolution, but it was the army who was dying and fighting the First World War, and they were hungry and they were tired and they were sick of it, and they were the ones that the Bolsheviks really marshaled to help carry out the coup. And right now, on the same sort of discontent and anger is happening in the ranks of the police, who held their second huge demonstration. In fact, it's on the cover of Haiti Liberté this week on November 17th. And they are demanding better work conditions, a decent salary, the possibility to form a union, et cetera, et cetera. So when you start to see the guys and women who have guns starting to be discontent, and of course they're not happy with all the slings and arrows being directed against them by the masses of Haiti, and of course being probably of some sympathy because they themselves come from the people. These aren't the children of the bourgeoisie who are out maintaining the streets. So we have a very fragile situation. In a way, the government's resuscitation of the army 2 years ago, it actually began under Michel Martelly, ended up being a bad gamble because the army can turn against you, and in the end be your undoing.
Yeah, and I appreciate you breaking down sort of the class composition of a lot of what we're seeing, because I do think that's important. And a little earlier in our piece here, you mentioned, you know, a few Latin American countries where the U.S. is also making a presence felt in sort of a number of ways. And I was just wondering, Kim, how do you situate what we're seeing in Haiti with sort of this recent really explosion, if you will, of demonstrations and protests and such things happening in Latin America and indeed all over the world?
Yes, well, we see Haiti is one of the countries that the U.S. considers to be its lackey states, like Chile, like Piñera in Chile. They're trying to support him. You know, there they call the demonstrators, oh, they're violent, they're this and that. It's not the version that we get from Bolivia or Venezuela, where these are freedom fighters. I mean, we know the tremendous hypocrisy and double standard that the U.S. media and U.S. government hold with respect to uprisings. Those that are for our friends are good, and those which are against our friends are no good. So Haiti, under Jovenel Moïse, especially since they've begun to line up with the U.S. against Venezuela, has been to basically consider these demonstrations as violent and unreasonable, that the people are in the street, they don't know what they want, et cetera, which is, of course, in stark juxtaposition to what we see in Venezuela, Bolivia, of course, going to other nations around the world, whether you look at Syria or others, that they consider these to be justified rebellions and rebellions with, quote unquote, you know, moderate rebels and freedom fighters, et cetera.
No, absolutely. Well, really appreciate you joining us here on the show. As always, Kim, we are going to have to leave it there for now. We are going to come back after this break, short break coming up here on By Any Means Necessary. So stay with us.